lip service.
Guess who's back in the motherfucking house? That's right. It's lip service.
Yo mouth. Don't it go like that or something?
Okay, you took it too far. I was just trying to use the part that was appropriate. But it's lip service. I'm Angela Yee.
I'm Stephanie Santiago.
I'm Gigi McGuire.
I'm L'Oreal.
And we got Nick Hawk. He's back again.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Hey. Let me tell you, I was catching up on Gigolo, by the way. You know, just to kind of look at certain things from
Nick. For research, right?
It was actually very, very interesting, certain things that I was noticing. And I know we're going to talk about your book in a second. But
what'd you notice?
You guys are really great at identifying how to connect with women, like probably more than the average man. And I kept thinking, like, is this game or do they care for real? Or are they like, this is just a job?
It's all the above. It's game. But yeah, number one, we got to make the client comfortable. And that's definitely a skill that we need to learn early on. If you fail at that, you got nowhere to go.
Right. Because I feel like men like escorts for a different reason than women like them for. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say?
A little bit. I think, I don't know if men would admit to getting a woman for the same reasons most women get a man for. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody has the same wants and desires at the end of the day, men or women.
One of the most interesting things you did was you had sex with a woman who couldn't, well, you didn't have sex with her because it was too painful for her. She has some, what was it called? I was trying to pronounce it. You don't remember either.
What?
She had something wrong where like it was too painful for her to have sex.
Oh, so sorry.
Like ever?
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Is it like a certain dick size or is she just...
Nick, maybe you want to expand on
like
this?
Like, has that...
I don't... Man, that was like a quick shoot. I don't really remember that much about it. Yeah, it was... I think it was a condition. It didn't make that much sense to me.
But that I'm sure that's not something that often happens. Like, was that the only time that ever happened?
No, it happens every time, but...
Oh!
But this one... Yeah. No, yeah, we just had some solo play, right? Yeah, yeah, we didn't
like, you tied her up.
Yeah.
And you
we still had some fun.
Yeah, you still had some fun. Can you imagine not being able to have sex because it's too painful?
But wait, she couldn't... So, could she do anal? Like, was that her normal?
I mean, if she can't take it in her vagina...
No, but it's like something wrong.
Well, yeah, like there's
wrong with her vagina.
But like, yeah, her vagina is meant to expand.
Yeah, but I've heard of... remember we had someone else. Remember when we had...
And it was too painful for her to have sex.
What's his name? The guy who has a podcast.
Ralph Sutton?
No, my favorite...
Oh, Premium Pete.
Yes. Remember he spoke about how he met a girl and she could only get fucked in the ass because she had some condition.
Yeah,
it was where her vagina was real small.
Right.
Probably the same thing.
Right. Yeah. That's what it sounded like. That's why I was wondering.
Yeah, I'm sure she could have anal. I don't think that affects the anus too.
Right?
Does it cost?
But you know, there's, man, I think it'd be, I don't know if I want to go there, but you know, there's other ways you could get a woman
go
up. Man, it'd almost be a relief in some ways. I'd think to not have to
have sex,
worry about the complications of sex and getting pregnant. And then, but you're still with someone and still getting satisfied. Mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely more ways to satisfy a woman than just having sex.
But like, what about,
you know, like men? I feel like men have to have sex, but women I think would be all right without it if they were satisfied in the appropriate
but then way. What man could you have that would, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like no man wouldn't get tired of fucking in the ass all
well
time.
Anal,
right?
I guess. And it's more, I'd hope it's, you know, more than that in most relationships anyways, where it's a emotional connection.
Yes,
and everybody's got to get off, you know, and how they get off, you know, there's different ways to do that.
No, I understand. I mean, me personally, I don't think I would be satisfied without, you know, having actual sexual, yes.
But if it was too painful, you would have to.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But what he's saying is right. There's other ways. Like, I can come without anything going inside of me. You know what I mean? So
girls can come just by grinding and,
right,
like, you know, other foreplay.
Yeah. Oh, you could always be a lesbian too.
Right.
That's true.
But lesbians do, they insert.
They don't have to.
They don't have to, but they fist each other and shit.
They could probably take fingers, just not a dick, because the fingers are small, so that probably don't hurt. Like you
stop doing that because your long nails is making me hurt.
Oh, is it you that was
and they're
on
all
the show?
Sparkly, no. Galactic nails
to the moon and beyond.
Okay. Now you have this book out, 100 Kicks in the Ass, right?
A Guide to Gaining Confidence and Reaching Your Full Potential. Yes.
So I was going to say, let me ask you this: what's the reason that you've ever had to cut somebody off, like in your life?
For what?
Just, I mean, like, what's the reason to be like, that person is toxic to me, I can't fuck with them anymore?
I cut a lot of people off in life. I don't let anybody drag me down anymore. I don't care if it's family members. I don't care how long I've known the person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody should not be in your life just because they're a family member. End of story. I don't care how much shit you've went through, how much they've done for you. If they're toxic to you, if they don't support you, if they, you know, abuse alcohol or drugs and they weigh you down and they don't give you the guidance and support that you need, they should not be in your life.
But you've had issues too, so I'm sure that, you know, people have given you other chances, like second chances, third chances. You know, you got to be a little bit like the book.
No, you don't have to immediately cut someone off. Mm-hmm. Obviously, approach them in an intelligent manner, have a conversation with them. I'm not liking this. You're being too negative. You're weighing me down. I don't like it. You know, we don't have to see eye to eye on everything, but. You know, I don't like the way you approach me. I don't like your attitude. Or if it's usually drug and alcohol problems. That's the main reason why I cut people off. Mm. People who, you know,
at least family
can't
members.
Keep their shit together and they're incompetent because of that.
What about you, ladies? Cutting somebody off? Like the last time you cut somebody off, what was the reason?
Dang, I've cut people off for numerous problems: betrayal, lying, stealing. You know,
lying is stealing. A good. I think lying.
Yeah. Somebody stole from you? That's fucked up.
Yep.
Like stole what? Your man or your money?
Money.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I said man, she was like,
no. But you know what? It's hard to accuse somebody of stealing money because how can you really prove it sometimes?
When somebody, okay, let me paint a scenario.
Because, you know, sometimes it's hard.
No,
you like,
let me paint a scenario. You have someone go pick up money for you for an important reason that you need it for. And they pick up the money and spend it on what they want to spend it on and never give you the money.
Whoa.
Ever. Well, that's a...
that's stealing.
Yeah, that's definitely stealing.
That's beyond stealing. That's because you... That's bold.
Well, it happened.
They knew you needed
the money.
That's
another level. And yeah. The whole thing with, you know, second chances and forgiving people... I'm not a fan of forgiving somebody. We never forgive someone. When someone wrongs you, we don't forgive them. Even if we say that or accept their apology or however sorry they are, we never fully restore that trust, that amount of trust that we had in somebody. So once, you know, someone wrongs you, steals from you or something like that, you know, they're cut down and you can keep cutting them down more and more and more. You can recover a little bit. You're never going to get all the way back to up to where you were. You're not going to have that full trust if you do something horrible like that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're desperate at times. We make mistakes and you can recover from that shit. But if someone keeps going down and down and down, there's a point where you need to cut them off for good.
What about in a relationship? If somebody cheats on you and then you forgive them, say, don't you think sometimes it could make your relationship stronger?
Well, we shouldn't have committed relationships in that way to begin with.
You don't think we should have committed relationships
no,
at all?
No, I don't. My philosophy on dating is...
he sounds like every man before he even finishes.
I feel that everybody should, the most intelligent way to approach a relationship is in an open manner, not a wide open manner, in a trustfully open manner. I don't think it's healthy to be completely tied down to somebody without any boundaries to explore. And if you're with somebody and you trust them and you have this commitment, some type of open, you know, restraint, I think it's best not to hear about what goes on outside of that. I do. That's something else that we can touch on. But you should have freedoms to explore out, because most of the time when you go out and explore and you have fun, you fuck around with somebody, you realize what you got back at home.
Right.
And that shouldn't fuck up everything. And when you make that commitment, say, I'm never going to sleep around and I will never betray you. I'll never be with another woman. You know, it's a lie. It's just like marriage. I don't support marriage either. It's not a real commitment. You don't know who you're going to be tomorrow, much less weeks from now, much less years
horrified.
From now, much less who they're going to be. I don't like it. I don't like the foundation of that. What's that built, and having everything based on just one time, like one promise. You can't promise somebody forever. And
why not?
you don't know who you're going to be tomorrow. You really don't.
No,
you can say right now, I love you. I plan on, I it's great to be in a relationship that's committed and grow with somebody forever, but you can't promise somebody forever. You don't know who you're going to be. I hope that we stay together. We can reminisce. We can have all this great time. That's what you do. That's a good thing with being in a long term relationship. You can look back on things that you've done and re-explore those things and grow, but people grow apart. And it's okay.
No. Wait.
Sometimes.
Okay. Can I go?
Go, Steph.
Is it my turn? I feel like to his or her own opinion all the time. You know what I mean? But I think that you can find someone and you can continually grow with them. Is continually a word?
Yes, it is.
It is? Okay. I just wanted to
make sure. Continuously.
Yeah.
It's both are words.
Okay.
Okay. So
she's continuing. You know, but you guys know what I'm talking about?
Get it.
Continue.
All right. You know, I think you can continue. I think you could, you know, grow with somebody forever. I feel like you can change, or you are going to change.
That's what we want.
Just like what I said.
Yeah, that's what we definitely want.
Just like, you know, change. You change every day. Yesterday, I might have felt some way about something that I feel totally different about today. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you can find that love where you can grow together.
That's what we hope for. That's what we want.
It's not realistic.
But if you marry somebody and you promise them forever, you commit to them forever, and something happens like they do in over 90% of cases now.
Yeah, but then it's
a lie, because you promised them forever. You should never promise somebody forever.
No, but you know what?
Because then if it happens and you do grow apart, like over 90% of relationships do now, then it's okay, and you guys can stay friends, and it's not, no, you're leaving me, you lied to me, and then there's this hostile.
This is what
energy.
I always say. This is what I always say about relationships. Like, people are so focused on cheating, you know, people betraying each other with other people, you know, in a relationship. But I always say there's so many other things that could be a problem. And this is a problem, growing apart. You know what I mean? And I just feel like, you know, yeah, people grow apart for sure. But in relationships, when something happens, when something happens, somebody did something wrong, something happened in the family.
A lot of times, financial reasons.
People, I mean, it doesn't happen every day. It might not happen with me. It might not happen with you. It might happen with all of us. Who knows? But people can work on those problems and stay together and grow together. And, you
for
know,
sure.
And not live happily ever after, but live and love
with one person. The problem is that Nick is probably too popping right now, but maybe when you're like 70 years old.
Right.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. I always say this. My ex-boyfriend's mom told me that men settle down when they get too old and lazy to run around anymore. And they just settled in.
I'm down for a committed relationship. I'm open to having someone continually in my personal life. I think it's a mistake to promise somebody forever. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's something that we can honestly do, because we don't know who we're going to be in the future. And I think it's a mistake to commit to somebody and tell them, I'm never going to sleep with somebody ever again.
And then if you do,
in both of those situations, if you do, and it usually happens, usually if you're with someone for 10, 20 years, usually someone's going to fuck up, and it shouldn't be that big of a deal. Once again, when you go outside and explore and you do fuck up, you realize what you have at home. And then when you do, that shouldn't ruin everything.
Right, I don't feel like
commitment.
It should be the end.
And sometimes
of the world.
It doesn't.
I agree.
I'm confused as to what you think a committed relationship is, because with your occupation, you do things. So would you stop doing things if you were in a committed?
Stop being a gigolo?
Yeah.
No, I don't plan on stop doing that ever.
So
I would commit to somebody in my personal life, and she would be the only one that I'd be with in my personal
and
life.
And I think
that's
that,
but
that
work is work.
And
I don't feel like
person.
That's fair.
No, but I.
But if somebody met you and that's what you were doing,
and he's being honest,
I would never be with somebody and tell her. If I was with somebody, I'd tell her, I don't want you sleeping around with a lot of dudes. If it happened, I don't want to know about it. That's what I would tell her. If I'm not fulfilling you, if you're not happy, just be honest with me. And you know,
please, I think that you can find a woman who will only sleep with you and be okay with your job.
It hasn't been a problem.
Exactly. Right. I think you can find,
because
that.
I am open and honest about that shit.
Yeah,
too,
so you know, why not get married?
Yeah, you seen the show, Google me. Why not get married?
Marriage is based on something I don't agree with.
I think marriage is beautiful.
I'm a romantic. I'm a hopeless, not a hopeless romantic, but a romantic a little bit. And I like
a little bit.
One weekend here and there, you know, a couple times.
Enough a bit.
Enough.
Like I said,
he's a romantic.
I don't know anymore. What is romantic to me? I wasn't really thinking when
romance
I said that.
Is caring. Romance is the little things.
I feel like
because romance is kind of a lost art.
Just hitting it off with somebody and not worrying about anything else that's going on and just being in the moment in time with them and enjoying that night and weekend. And this has happened with clients as well, where I lose myself with them. We just have this great connection and everything's flowing great. But,
How much do looks matter when you have a client? Like, can you be attracted to somebody but not be attracted to how they look physically?
You can be more attractive to someone than others. I prefer a fit woman. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't mind being with an overweight woman. They just need to take care of themselves. You know, hygiene.
Smelling good.
There's a lot of pussy eating on that show, and I always wondered, does it ever happen like with somebody hygienically is like a little bit of a turn off?
Yeah, for sure. It's a common thing with women. Well, this is something I found out when I was a stripper. So hold on one second. But this is and when women have their period, after their period, they don't always smell awesome down there. Yeah. That's, you know, it is a common thing. It happens once a month to just about every woman. But no, most of my clients take very good care of themselves. But now, when I used to strip and do bachelorette parties, they placed dollar bills all over and put it in the pants and everything. And I'd go down in the pants and grab the dollar bill out of the pants. And I was just dumbfounded on how many girls that smelled bad down there. It blew me away how often that happened.
Literally, that smell blew me away.
Yes.
Whoa.
No, that's not good. And a lot of women out there don't know that. Like, there shouldn't be any, unless it's right after your period, there shouldn't be any smell down there at all. You need to take care of yourself. You need to talk to your doctor, your gynecologist. You need to change your diet.
Have you ever told somebody?
You don't douche. Yes.
You have?
Oh, I have.
God.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, I've told a few said. Clients.
Yeah, how do you say it?
Yeah, how do you say it?
Tell L'Oreal right now.
No, play.
Don't even play that. Tell K. Michelle right now. No. I'm not letting up.
Emails best with very carefully worded words to, you know, make them not feel horrible about themselves. Yeah, to make them not feel horrible about themselves.
Oh, shit. Right?
But what if you're about to go down there and it happens? Do you tell them, like, here's a wet wipe or go take a...
I wouldn't do that on the spot. No.
So you just still go in?
No.
Oh.
But odor, when you're talking about these kind of odors, you're not talking about like a musty odor. You're talking about an odor from the inside, like an unhealthy one.
Not like I was out all day
like
and I had
like stripping. Disgusting.
Yeah, no. like bad fish. Like, yeah.
Fishy oh my God.
Yeah.
No, but you know what?
I can't believe how many girls I pulled that dollar out of their pants smelled. I didn't think that was a common thing at all. Getting back to that, so many.
You have to, like, ladies, if you're going to go to a bachelorette party and there's going to be strippers, like, they really, you know, be on your body. Like, take a bath. Jesus.
I don't get it. I think one of the biggest mistakes is you can overcome. Cleanse. I mean, it's a bacterial system down there. It's its own system, and you can't fuck with it too much. And
they said
douche
is not good
for
you. No,
can do that. Sex,
is no good.
Sex can fuck you up real bad too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, so that's something women need to know as well. And some women douche and clean too well down there. It's its own environment.
And then it takes care of itself.
Don't fuck with it too much. But if it smells bad, you have a yeast infection. Yeah, you got to get that cleaned up. You got to have that taken care of.
Now, what if somebody hired you and they had a yeast infection and they didn't say anything about it, and then now what?
What do you mean? If like, I had sex with them, they had a yeast infection?
No, let's just say you come in there and you're like, oh shit, there's like cottage cheese or something like coming.
Oh, my God.
Do you just leave? Like, what happens?
If that happened?
What?
I'd address that. You'd have to address that, you know, a little unpleasantness down there isn't in the world. If it smells bad, nothing's going to happen.
Bake that
but
bread,
cottage
baby.
Cheese, you got to probably fucking say something about that, right? I don't want to go there. It doesn't happen. I don't think it's good. I hope it doesn't, but I would address that situation.
Has there ever been a time that you couldn't get an erection?
Not when I wanted to. And I used to take pills. I don't take pills anymore. I don't put anything unnatural in my body anymore. When I used to struggle with some of these fears and anxieties in the beginning, if I didn't have a pill and I was in some type of situations, You know, there's a lot going on though. You know, I've as my book says, I had horrible anxiety and confidence issues when I was a child. I was scared to speak up in front of my family at the dinner table. And
you
I,
said
I
you faked a heart attack or something.
I was in school. Yes, like I was scared to death to get called on. I was scared to death to get called on in class to answer a question or something like that because I would freak out and I'd panic and would have to come up with shit. And I faked a fucking heart attack when I was a kid and fell on the floor like I was having a heart attack. It just came to me.
You were an actor from a young age.
I spent more energy getting myself out of that situation. Then it's just so pointless to have this fear. We do these ridiculous things and it's senseless. And I talk a lot about that in the book. And so I had a lot of these fears and anxieties that I was getting over when I started gigoloing a little bit. And if I allowed that fear and anxiety to take over, because we have this, you know, the fight or flight or fight response too. And that happens when you put yourself in a situation that you're not comfortable in. And when that happens with men too, we withdraw blood from certain areas. So it even makes it harder to maintain an erection. Ooh. It's like I had this issue. I talk about this in the book too, how ridiculous it was. I was nervous about dick size in the locker room, as all kids are in high school and whatever. I was in wrestling and football, and I was nervous about my dick size, and that causes your dick to go in and the blood to come in.
Right.
So
the dick was nervous too. It's like a whole
lesson in itself right there, how stupid it is to be to have this anxiety and fear at any point in time.
And that's crazy because guys really do compare dick size. Like, let's be clear.
But like, how do we do this? Like, do y'all just like line up like, all right, everybody dick
No,
out?
They don't do it like that. They just kind of look.
Tuesday night, we don't have a gathering.
The same way girls look at asses and stuff.
I don't be looking at asses.
I don't be comparing asses. Yeah.
Girls look at asses.
I look like
But I can say right now I got the smallest ass in the room.
Well, you're half Asian, so you got
it is what it is. That means I also got the tightest pussy in the room.
All right now, Ange.
Yeah, it's slanted pussy.
Don't get racist, okay?
Wait, that's what they say Asians have.
They say. So wait, Nick, is there like a racial makeup to the pussy? Like, would you say that like different races have a different feel? Like, could you fuck a girl and know what race she is if you couldn't see her?
that's a good question.
Blindfolded.
No, man.
Not every pussy is different, and that's something I actually I want to look into a little bit.
Let's do a test.
I'm curious if certain races have certain pussies. I don't think so. I think because I've been with a wide variety.
I've been with mostly white women.
Mostly.
What about Asian?
I've been with just about every race, so, but mostly white women. But I've seen the variance between you wouldn't have no idea if you just cut that out of a picture or something. they're small to big, no matter what race you are, what size you are. They vary so much at everything. Mm-hmm. There's no two pussies are the same.
They're not even close.
Yeah.
Snowflakes.
That's the name.
No two pussies are the same. That's great. You, lady, are special. Right. Your pussy is like nobody else's pussy.
It's a snowflake.
Have you ever seen an ugly pussy?
Come on, of course.
Yeah, there's some beat up ones.
Beat up pussy look.
Yeah, too much meat hanging and shit.
Oh my God.
That happens. Not often.
Too many curtains.
Yeah.
The roast beef.
Too many mayo.
I haven't seen too much of that.
Oh my God.
Do you love squirting? Like when women squirt? Or is it like...
I don't know about love it. It's a turn on. It's a turn on for me a little bit. It's messy though, man. The squirters I've been with, it's a lot. Like, you gotta throw the mattress out after. You gotta put a fucking tarp down. I don't know where all this. I've been with a few of them. And I don't know where all the fucking liquid comes from. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm ready for her to pass out or turn white or float away.
Shrivel up.
And it just keeps coming. It's like
turn into dust.
Anybody ever squirt?
I never have.
Stephanie does it the most. I've done it before.
I don't do it all the time. I have done it a lot. I'm telling you, it ruins. It's a mess.
But remember, they have a little mat for that, right?
Guys love it.
Squirt mat.
Wee-wee
pad.
Yeah, but wee-wee pad.
Who puts that? I never even seen that. Oh, and Petco. Okay. I'm like, all right. No, because guys like it. I don't understand. It's a mess. And then I got to sleep in a puddle.
I like
turning on the women. One sleeping in the puddle.
Me turning on a woman turns me on more than anything else. If it's moaning or gestures or orgasming or squirting, I know that she's really turned on. So that.
That's what I feel like. I feel like guys like it so much because they feel like they did something. Like, they did oh do something. My God, look what I made her
that.
Do.
Right. I did that.
Yeah.
That's part of it. Right? That's part of it.
Well, God, let me moan.
I'm selfish. I'm not that selfish. But
now, you also said in your book, 60% of adults can't go 10 minutes without lying. That's a study, right?
Yeah.
So that means somebody in here lied.
I think it's much higher than that.
It's one person.
I think
60% of adults can't go 10 minutes without lying. I think that's crazy. 60.
Well, there's different lying's perception and just because you're not telling the full it's
sometimes you're being too nice.
What I talked about in there was people not operating at their full potential who have done this whole self-discovery thing and they know and they're acting who they should be, and the person you should be is a genuine person who you're most confident as, and that's the person you should be. So I think a lot of people they're selling themselves short and they're lying. They don't even know it because they haven't found who they are. So it's a little deeper than just.
Right. You know, what do you find yourself like? Because I'm sure you discovered a lot about yourself as you were writing this as well, right?
So much. Sitting in that interview chair for Gigolos, we get interviewed every Friday. They ask me just about every question they could ever think of and every interpretation of that. I learned so much in that chair. And I knew writing this book that I was going to, you know, even take that even further. So that motivated me to write the book as well. Yeah, you learn so much because, you know, you want to, this is in print forever. This is part of my legacy and this is kind of my Bible, and I want to help a lot of people with this, and I want to have the right information in there. So I did a lot of digging, a lot of soul searching, and a lot of research to do it. But yeah,
what did you find that you were lying about? Like when you had to go through this, and like, what were some things that you felt like you weren't completely honest? And sometimes we lie to spare other people's feelings, you know, like you said, and living in your truth is really the best thing to do. But what do you find
that... Spare people's feelings. That's funny that you say that a little bit. And that's a few things that I hit on a lot. Mm-hmm. I think we're a very weak society, a very babying society. We let shit fly that we shouldn't. Too many of us operate at low levels and allow other people to bring us down. And we pat them on the fucking back and rub their head and tell them, no, you need to get your shit together. You're better than this. You need to pull it together and stop bringing everybody else down.
You find that your job as a gigolo is kind of to lie to your clients sometimes too, though, to make them feel good. Like if somebody comes in.
I can't do it. I'm not that guy. And in some... And I used to do it too, just like fish for compliments to think that this is what they needed. I have one of the kicks in the book is it talks about the compliments and how unnecessary they are. I don't like to be complimented. I wish we had more of a mentality. Like, I feel like when someone compliments me, it's almost them suggesting that they thought I needed the compliment.
What if they just meant it?
Yeah.
I don't think they're necessary. We have a horrible outlook on this. When we look good, when we feel good. So if we're not feeling good, you shouldn't compliment somebody when they're not feeling good, when they're not on point, when they're not taking care of themselves.
But sometimes we think we look like shit, right?
And other people think that we look amazing.
And people like how you look. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have on our sweats, no makeup, hair in a ponytail.
Yeah, you're probably well rested and feeling good. That's feeling good.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about that too, how important sleep is.
It's crucial. The key. Less than 1% of 1% of us get enough sleep.
I love sleep so much. And I love it definitely too.
If we're operating at our full potential, which very few people do, you know, we need 9 to 10 hours of sleep every night.
I would love
Jesus
to.
Jesus Christ.
Now that's a lot.
We do.
That's a whole lot.
I sleep four hours a night.
The newest study suggests that they did a study with people and they said 7.5 hours plus a 90-minute nap is... They determined this in some way, shape,
that's
or form.
That's
9 hours. We need that. We need to understand what's happening when we sleep. When we're sleeping, we're rejuvenating. We're healing ourselves. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe we can live hundreds of years.
Like a vampire.
Nobody takes care of ourselves the way we could. Nobody operates at their full potential. I've yet to meet one person who operates at their full potential.
Well,
and that's
Stephanie
sleeping, hydrating properly, nutrients, challenging ourselves, being creative, socializing, being in control of our sexual energy, approaching the world in the most intelligent manner. Nobody does it.
What are you going to say, Steph?
I wish I could do that. I wish I could be on that. But I was going to say that I sleep about 7.5 hours.
That's great.
That's for a lot to most people.
And sometimes,
90-minute nap.
Sometimes I smoke so much weed in the middle of the day that I just fall asleep, and I think I hit that 90-minute nap. So,
you're not fully balanced, and you're not fully balanced, so it's not.
I know.
You actually need even more.
Me up. The weed is messing me up.
It does it. You just don't properly cycle through your sleep schedule when you smoke weed. Such it just like any other drug.
L'Oreal.
And yeah, my sleep
GG
is all fucked up. I just started smoking again.
What is it doing to my sleep schedule? The weed.
It's not allowing you to sleep as productively and efficiently as you can be. You're not falling into REM sleep as quickly as you could. You're not staying there as long as you could
because you high.
Yes.
So how could I get there?
I'm gonna give you the sleep monitor thing that I had that Dr. Oz gave me, so you could try it.
Oh,
because it monitors your sleep.
I would love that.
I sleep a lot. I could do that.
I give it to
There's
you.
There's lots of things I recommend. One of the biggest things I recommend with sleeping is some type of white noise machine. I prefer brown noise. It's a lower sounding. It drowns out noise, especially here in New York when you got all that shit going on in the street there. Everybody here in New York should have one of these machines that drowns out these noises. Just because you're unconscious for 7 or 8 hours doesn't mean you had 7, 8 hours of productive sleep. You got someone next to you moving around. You're hearing shit in the distance. Once again, we sleep in these four cycles. And we go to REM sleep. If we're halfway through REM sleep and we hear something in the distance or some conscious does when we're sleeping, it can pull you back to stage one and not wake you up all the way. And you don't realize that messed up your whole sleep cycle and you're back.
That's why you shouldn't sleep with the TV on. And
I don't sleep with the TV
on. I don't sleep
with the TV. If it's a consistent, TV's tricky. If it's a consistent noise, it could be beneficial. But no, the sleep machine is so much better.
I can't sleep with the TV on.
I can't sleep with the TV on either. But
you'll like a noise machine.
I have to get up and turn it off.
There's an app that I use. It's called White Noise, and it has a
the ocean.
Like yeah, it has ocean and all that. Ocean's not. I don't recommend anything that's not consistent. Like a crashing wave, it's not consistent. Yeah. So I think that disturbs your lightning storm with the lightning going off. But if it's consistent rain or a waterfall,
and all that kind
I can't sleep without the sound of the AC, like from the central.
Brown noise sounds like that. It sounds like a fan. I sleep with a fan on too, especially.
No, I noticed last. Last night it was kind of cold and I was trying to sleep. I couldn't sleep without the
sleeping.
I had to turn the AC on still. I still had to turn the AC on because I can't sleep without
like 65. It lowers your heart rate and everything else.
No, I have to sleep. It has to be freezing. You know, my house.
I walk in Stephanie's house in the morning and it'd be on Alaska.
Yeah, she comes to my house and then I'll be like, come in. And
it's freezing.
Like, what's wrong with
you? Alaska in here.
I was like, give me a blanket. It's cold.
No, because I can't sleep. I like to sleep with cover and I like to sweat under.
It's so hard to date somebody if you have like different temperatures.
I think so too.
It's the best. It's comfortable. It's security with that too. Because
I used to date this guy that was always hot and he was like, oh, that it would be mad cold, but I'm always cold.
That's how the same.
Oh no,
thing
you guys were yin and yang.
Yo, yeah, it was not working for me.
It was snowing outside. This motherfucker had the window wide open.
That's me.
I woke
That's
up.
Me.
I said Hell I was yeah. gonna.
I can't
That's
do
the
it.
Best way to sleep. I like 10 blankets on top of me, but yeah.
I think it's because he was super hairy, and like, it was like
with a body.
This dude ain't even hairy. Like I don't know what he was on, but like it had to be. Below fucking 10 and
I can't sleep. I couldn't do it. I'm fucking like that with him
because of that shit. I'm dead serious.
No, and I get up to use the bathroom and I swear it's so cold my bones are hurting, but then I run back to the bed.
I got a timer on my shit now, so I shut it off 2 hours before I wake up and then usually it warms.
How about I don't dream at all?
Oh, that's smart.
I don't know if I don't dream or I don't remember
Everybody
them.
Dreams. You don't remember.
I don't remember my dreams ever.
I'd be mad.
You can work on that.
I don't know how.
I'll tell you. one of my kicks in my book is control your dreams because it's about controlling your subconscious as well. The best way to remember your dreams is we usually forget them not immediately upon waking, but shortly after. Mm-hmm. So it's good to have a dream journal next to your bed. You'll remember something. It's even if you have an alarm wake you off. A good percentage of the time it's going to wake you up when you're in the dream state and then immediately write it down. And the more you write the dreams down, the better you will be with remembering them. But lucid dreaming is something that I'm dabbling with as well. And this is some really interesting stuff. A homie of mine introduced me to this a little bit. He told me, and I believe him, he told me that he lucid dreams. He can put himself in one of three different places. One of them was a grotto with 15 women. One of them was on top of a mountain in Tibet. I forgot what the third one was.
You said on top of a nun?
Mountain.
Oh, I thought you said a nun.
A nun.
And, I was like,
he's a very spiritual person, and he like meditates in his dream. Like his, and he can pick these three places as well. And there's tricks that you can do when you're throughout the day to help you lucid dream. Lucid dreaming is just being aware that you are in, you are dreaming. And one of the things is look at a clock and just stare at it for a few extra seconds, a digital clock. Because supposedly this hasn't happened. I've read about this a few different times. When you see a clock in a dream, it's never the right time. It's like 73:42 o'clock in a dream. And the other thing
is just doing reality checks, is what I
call them. Just look at your hand. And this is what I do a lot. Just look at your hand and count your five fingers. And if you do, the more you do that, the bigger a chance you're creating to look at your hand in a dream, because it's going to become a habit. But when you look at your hand in a dream, there's never five fingers. And sometimes it's a fucking flipper. And sometimes there's some weird shit going on, and you'll know you're dreaming. Dreams are some crazy stuff. When you start researching, getting into them, dreams, we go to another dimension. We go to another reality. We go to this place that we can't fathom, put words to, or describe. Our brain interprets it as these visual images when we wake up, and they never make sense because we don't understand this place that we go to. But when you start, I haven't yet been in a dream and said, I'm dreaming, but I have been able to start controlling them. I started predicting what happens in my dreams, which is a form of that, which is really cool. I had one dream where I was driving with my stepbrother that I haven't seen in so long. We were looking at houses, and for some reason we decided to drive the car off a cliff, and I predicted exactly how the car would flip off the cliff. Like it'd go two times and land upside down.
So you predicted it in your dream.
In my dream, I remember doing this. I'm getting to the really cool thing though in a second. The other one was we drove off a bridge into water, and I predicted it would go off and roll. It was exactly how I did it. But the dopest dream I've ever had and I've ever heard anybody ever having, I have dreams of me flying all the time, but I usually have to get a running start and then glide and go and really concentrate hard, or jump off of something and glide and go.
I jump off of stuff too. It's so crazy.
It's flying is so much fun. And sometimes I can jump high, I can levitate stuff. But in this one dream, I remember standing there and I understood this energy we have yet to discover. It was like magnetic, or it was like electricity, but it was something we haven't discovered yet. And I understood it. I understood it. I made it work. And then I was able to absorb it, like pull it from the sky and absorb it. And
that's
then
crazy.
Take off and fucking
like
fly.
Like a rocket.
Ooh, yeah. That's cool.
Right?
That's cool. Yes, that was fucking cool.
Do your reality checks, man. If you can control your dreams and do crazy stuff like that.
And when I'm dreaming, I hate it when this happens. Like usually when I'm having a bad dream, I'm like in the dream, like, relax, you're dreaming.
Like, you know, I do that too.
Calm down.
It's just a dream.
It's just a dream.
Freddy Krueger is not going to kill you.
I haven't done that. You can maintain control.
No, that's why I mentioned it, because I heard you say that you've never done that. I do that. Like, I'll have a dream that I'm like killing my boyfriend. Or
I've had some nasty ones. I've never been there telling myself it's a dream. That's good.
No, I've had some really nasty dreams. I've had dreams where I'm getting raped or something crazy, because my head is crazy.
Damn. Yeah.
No. So, but I'm telling you, in these dreams, I'm like, wake up. Like, what's wrong? I'm like scolding myself.
Always tell myself, wake up.
I'm in control. This is my dream. I am creating this reality.
Babe,
tell yourself
that's what
that
I do. That's exactly what I tell myself. Like, this is your life. Wake up. You in bed.
That's the hardest
You want to play with me? I bet you if you pee you're going
to
pee in the bed.
But that's
that's
the
like I tell myself shit like that while I'm dreaming.
Gigi,
like,
what's your dream?
I swear.
I've had that pee in the bed dream before.
The pee
and
one.
And I really
pee
in the bed.
I think I've been there too.
I've had the pee in the bed dream.
I think I've been in a dream and I thought, if I pee now, I'm pissing my bed. I've done that.
So what can you yourself in your dream?
I've had the pee in the bed dream where I peed in the bed, and I've had the pee in the bed dream where I got up and went and peed.
Oh, I've definitely.
And then I've had the pee in the bed dream where I just held it. Like, I knew I was asleep, and I'm like, don't pee.
I'm too tired to get up right now.
I think I have that every morning. I never want to get up.
Right.
I hope that shit as long as I can.
No, I've definitely peed in the bed.
No, but when I'm having a bad dream, like, to test myself, like, oh, you think this is real? And I tell myself, when I'm having a bad dream, oh, you think this is real? You think this is real? Pee on yourself. Go ahead, pee. It's going to be in your bed. Go ahead. Try.
Yeah, you, like, punish yourself.
I swear, I scold myself.
Don't tell any doctor that. They'll give you fucking meds. But I think it's amazing and brilliant.
Thank you. No, but I wake up, and I'm like, wow, I was really just like, really spazzing out in my dream right now.
The only dream I used to have was that my teeth were falling out. Like I would
grind. I have that something. A lot.
That's yeah,
I
used to
have that.
Teeth.
I used to have that dream, and I would have the dream that I was falling, and then I would wake up when I hit the ground.
Me too.
I have a bit about dreaming too. I have a comedy bit about it. I had this one dream where I woke up, I got up, shut off the alarm, went to my bathroom, started up the shower, peed, went back in, showered, scrubbed myself, washed my hair, got out, dried off, put my clothes on, put deodorant on, brushed my teeth, did everything I do in the morning, went and made a protein shake, played with my dogs a little bit, walked out the door and fucking woke up again. For real. Like, wow. I had to do it all over again. I'm like, what the fuck?
Like Groundhog Day.
This is my subconscious fucking with me on another level.
You know what I hate? When I dream that I got up and got ready for work and I'm still in bed.
You've done that?
Oh my God. Now I will do that.
That's what I do.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do.
Another fucked up one I had. I had dreams. I actually had a dream where I could breathe underwater, but I had to fight fucking sharks. And not only did I have to fight sharks, for some reason there's tigers that could breathe underwater that I had to fight as well. I'm not even kidding. You can't make this shit up.
Oh my God. I was watching this movie called 47 Meters Deep. Oh my God. With the sharks. It was so crazy.
Now we're all going to have crazy dreams. Okay. Now we have an Ask Ye question. Somebody sent in this question. So we want to get your advice. Okay, she said, when we first started dating, I found porn on his phone and I was upset about it and we argued over it and he said he didn't know how I felt about it and he said he knew how I felt about it and he wouldn't watch it anymore. A couple of months after, I found it again. We argued again. But then after time to think about it, I told myself him watching porn is better than him cheating. Mm-hmm. And I told him it was okay with it once in a while. But recently I found it again. And she said, we live together. We have sex almost every day. I do favors for him and give whatever he wants. And it really does hurt my feelings that he still feels the need to watch porn when I give him whatever he wants sexually. It makes me feel like I'm not enough. And I think it's disrespectful. What do you think?
Time to move on and accept the fact that he's going to watch porn. How many more times you got to catch him?
Yeah.
Bitch, get off
why
his
is
phone.
It so bad that he's watching porn?
Right. Yeah, he's a little freaky.
If he's pleasing you, if it's not a problem, you know, with you
maybe
guys.
Maybe he's learning some things by watching porn.
If he's satisfying you enough.
Research.
Wait, what kind of porn is this, though?
Yeah.
She didn't say.
I don't want to make her feel totally...
Now, that's something that you got to be careful.
I don't think I would get mad at my bestiality. If I found out that he watched porn, I would actually be happy and I would want us to watch it together.
Right.
That's just me.
I've never watched... Have I? No.
That too. And yeah, and talk to him about that as well and bring it up that and tell him that if you don't mind watching it with him, you know, say that. But if it's, you know, his thing that he doesn't want to do with you, you respect that as well. This appreciate him being open and honest and you guys talk about it. If it bothers you, let him know. You know, if it doesn't, let him know that too. Offer to watch it with him. If he says no, you know, respect that too. Just... to be open and honest. That's the keys to
and
help
like
the relationship.
Like said, why is she going through his phone anyway?
Why are you in his phone? Like, yeah. I'm not going to lie. One time I was on somebody's laptop. Like, I was using somebody's laptop.
If you don't trust somebody, you don't trust somebody. If you trust them, leave them alone.
This guy had, you know how you put the fucking folder up or whatever? And make a long story short, this is why I said the dog shit. He had a woman fucking a horse.
Oof. He can't compete with that.
But I'm just confused. Why the fuck is this in a folder? Like, it was like a screen. What you call it? Like, one of the icons on the desktop. Like, you can see. I was like, what the fuck? Who's this bitch? Like,
maybe he knows her.
I don't know.
Maybe he knows the horse.
Have you ever watched that? Have you ever watched the horse?
I watched the man.
Girl and the horse.
I didn't watch it. I just
seen the Dr. Hands. Minister Hands or something.
Donkey show in Mexico.
I've seen.
He died, this guy.
I'm sure he did. If he's fucking done,
I would die too.
I've seen it a lot.
Damaged his spleen or some shit.
Seen it a few times.
God,
the horse dick was like a horn.
Well,
if that's not fucking karma, I don't know what is.
Right.
Don't fuck horses.
Like hey, don't fuck horses.
Don't let horses fuck you.
You ride them.
The horse
like
into it.
The horse was into it.
The horse be into it.
The horse was. You know how like dogs fuck?
Yeah.
How they jump up on top of you? That's how the horse was.
The horse squirted.
What?
His dick was like. Ugh. It was like real long.
This is disgusting. I don't want to talk
really
about this.
Gross.
That is it. Let's ask Stephanie since she has
I've seen it.
I've seen it too.
A lot.
And you watched like the whole thing?
Nah, yeah. I've watched the whole thing. That bestiality porn. It's not even to make
not
you
right.
It's not even to make you horny. I think I've watched it to see what happens.
Like what's wrong with this?
Like there's
person.
Some
all right, it's like a train wreck.
Some,
it should not make you horny.
It does not.
Oh my God,
it does. It does not. It doesn't. I've seen it. I was curious.
Now, so, Nick, have you ever been in love? I can't talk about this anymore. So. go. Have you ever been in love?
Yeah, with a horse once. No. Thoroughbred.
Thoroughbred stallion.
I interpret love differently now. I love everyone.
Come on,
I
Nick.
Think being in love.
Me too.
For real. I think being in love, it's a choice. I think most of the time it's not approach an intelligent matter. It's an infatuation. It's something that we think we need, but we don't. I used to go from girl to girl to girl. It's been 8 years since I've had someone I called a girlfriend. But before that, there was a girl, you know, in the picture just about every week or a couple. I might have had a 2 week break on some of them for like years and years and years. So I mean, I did that for a long time, and I thought that's how our weak society is built, saying that there's something wrong with you if you're not with somebody else, and if you're alone, you know, you have problems, and we have to have that. So we have to be married and have fucking kids by the time we're 22 or we're old, and it's too late, and you're gonna miss your opportunity, and it's all bullshit. We need to do a lot more self discovery before we worry about that. And you got to love yourself before you love anybody else. It's impossible to love anybody if you don't love yourself.
But don't those like 11 hour sleeps get a little lonely by yourself? Like, you know,
9 to 10. I pull off 12 to 14. Hell no. I get amazing sleep. I get amazing sleep.
I like to cuddle.
I think people sleep in separate beds anyways.
What?
I told you earlier, nobody yelled, said anything about it, but man, if someone's, we move around, we snore, we make fucking noises, we get up and go to the bathroom, you're being disturbed the whole night. You're not getting
I have to disagree.
You're not getting productive sleep.
I have to, you know, I feel like when I'm in love, I want to sleep like on
inside. Yes.
Cuddled.
We don't snore. I know
I snore. I wake myself up sometimes.
Yeah, you snore.
Anybody
yeah.
who falls asleep on their back.
Not all the time, but sometimes I snore.
Soft snore. I heard Ange do before.
No, but when I sleep with my baby, couch. I like to sleep all up on. We sleep on each other like all of
right.
these.
That's how I am.
So Nick, you didn't really answer the question. Like, not that you love everybody, but do you feel like you've been in love?
When I was younger, every girl. I love you. This is it.
I'm not
I was
saying
married
love.
Briefly
in,
as well too.
In love.
In love. In love.
Of course I love you. Married.
I got married briefly as mm-hmm. as well. But yeah, that was when I was in the Air Force. But I went from girl to girl to girl to girl to girl, and I was in love with all of them. What I interpreted what love was, and being in love and committing, you're it forever, you and me. I did that every fucking weekend.
Damn.
I wanted it all to work. I wanted every single one of those to work. And I wanted that commitment. And, you know, I don't want to be lonely.
You think it was you?
It was society putting it in his head.
Think that the reason they didn't work out, you think it was you? Because you
yeah,
it was so
way
many
too fucking cases. Young definitely and inexperienced. And I didn't go through any self-discovery at that point. Like mm-hmm. I said, you got to love yourself before you can love someone else.
So what about
else?
Now?
Because
you had a lot of self-discovery. You've had 100 kicks in your ass.
Okay. Mm. I am... Being in love with somebody and having, you know, that romantic fling, I'm open to that. I've had a couple nice flings in the last 8 years with a girl I had a great time with for a weekend, and I've stayed friends with just pretty much everybody. I haven't ended a relationship badly in the last 8 years, but no, I haven't found that one that I want to run off with and commit to and plan on being with for a long time. I haven't found that in a long time.
You want to? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why not?
You know what?
I think we all do. I think you're lying. You're not lying to yourself, but you're confused if you think that you're not open to that possibility of finding this person. And I hate it when people try to shut that off from their life. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. It's unlikely you're going to find this fucking amazing person that you're going to love and be with every day and enjoy every second with forever. It's plausible though. It's doable, and we should stay open to that for sure. And I hope everybody finds them.
One episode of Gigolo, one woman said she was hiring a male escort because she had gone through a really bad breakup, and she was like, "I don't ever want to expose myself to hurt again."
Fair enough, man.
And be in love again.
Fair enough. And you know, they're in control, and they're not gonna, you know, find that heartbreak, and everything's straight up. You pay this, you get me for this long, and I'm gonna be there, I'm gonna be on fucking point, you're gonna get my attention, we're gonna have a good time. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I think this Hollywood and storybook love stuff is infatuation a lot of the times, and it can be unhealthy. I think it's rarely approached in an intelligent manner. And I think what my service provides is a very intelligent way of approaching and having a relationship.
You ever come too quick?
If I go a while, and I have really good control now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that's mental, but if I go a while without coming, I can come quick. I can make myself come very quickly if I wanted to. I have a lot of control now.
What makes you come quick? Though. Like, because a lot of women want to know this, right? What would make you, like, what takes you over the edge? Is it more mental? Is it more like a woman talking, or is it more physical?
Sure the fuck ain't a woman talking. No, I'm just kidding.
Damn. But I mean, like, talking during sex.
I'm just kidding. No, the build up, the whole build up, the whole fling, the anticipation, you know, the talking is a part of it, and connecting and having this special moment. And all of that is involved in that, because it builds and builds and builds and builds and builds. And then when you do it at the right moment. So timing's a big part of that as well. So it's everything that, you know, everything that it leads up to that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not something crazy that she's going to do or a costume that she's going to wear or something. It's the appropriate build up to the appropriate time. So
what's the most times you came in one session?
I used to try to come many times and fast and hard. It's a little different now when I sleep with somebody. I write it out a little longer, and we'll even, you know, take a break before I come. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot different now. But when I was younger, a lot. I used to shoot a lot too. I donated sperm for about a year when I was living in LA as well.
Oh, so you got some kids out there somewhere.
Yeah, I do. And actually, wow. I was going to look back into that, because I told them I didn't want them to contact me, but I think I changed my mind on
that.
Can
you change your mind?
Oh my God.
You can. You can. Damn. And then it's up to them when they turn 18, they may contact you.
Wow. That's crazy.
I think I'd be open to that. That'd be cool. When I was younger, I'm like, no, I don't want that.
It could be millions.
Yeah, because that movie. Remember that movie?
I was in the top 1%. There could be a lot of me running around. Who knows?
Oh, the young hawks.
Right. Have any of your clients ever started to stalk you?
No stalking.
Or like,
I mean,
did you feel like it was like getting crazy, like clingy?
There's some that, I guess, maybe spend a little too much time. May approach the relationship and become a little too infatuated with what I do, but no stalking. Few of my clients live in Vegas, and I mean, I'm barred up in a gated community too. So,
all right.
I don't think
anybody ever try to see you and not have to pay after, like, oh, let's just go out, like, not as a client situation, but
yeah. Some of them, they don't feel like they're totally comfortable with that, or maybe that. For some reason that they shouldn't be paying for the service, even though, you know, it's upfront and clear. And I know some of them have gotten me in hopes that, you know, maybe something will develop and they don't have to pay anymore. But for the most part, you know, everybody's happy with the arrangement and situation. They know exactly what they're getting and what to expect. And there's no heartbreak. I never let anybody down. You book me, I'm there from that time to that time, and I'm on point.
You what know, if a bunch like of girls came? Like, what if it was, you know, four girls and they were like, we want to run a train on you?
And one of them
I wouldn't let
Angela.
One girl run a train on me, for starters.
Isn't that running a train if it's a bunch of women and one man?
If they're running a train on me, that means like they have like dildos or something.
No, I don't mean like that.
That's
I mean like no, multiple I'm playing, women.
Depends on the situation, depends on my mood, you know, that's something I usually don't walk into.
Choo-choo.
Usually when girls get me, sometimes they'll have me meet their girlfriends and shit too and say hi. They've sometimes watched the show too, and you know, we talk and have a drink, but usually when girls get me, it's a special thing. They want to keep it to themselves for the most part. But I mean, I would be open to it. It would depend on, you know, the girls and the energy, and you know, if everything was cool and it was good energy and we all got along and clicked, you know, I'd be into that.
Is there a discount? It's Gigi's birthday.
It's just my time, so.
What about men? Do men try to reach out to you or try to see if they could book you?
I'm sure they do.
A little bit. The agency is very clear that it's straight escorts for straight women.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But, I've had some very big propositions.
Have you ever been like, shit, it's a lot of money, maybe?
Like, I've thought about a couple of them, but even though I don't care and I could live with myself after, I'm like, I've gone this long.
Right.
You know, and I'm doing all right. You know, I could retire right now if I wanted to. You know, back, if I had this mentality back then, I don't know. Usually the proposition is for them to suck me off and pay me 10 grand or 30 grand or whatever it is. And that happened to me back then. And I always said no to that. But I even talked to my straight friends, my broke straight friends. They're like, I would do that shit. I'm like, what? Like all of them said that.
$30,000.
Close your eyes, pretend it's a girl. I'm like, no, there's a little more involved in that, you know?
And that might be like
that's something you're going to think about every day for a long time.
That might be the
time,
best dick suck of your life.
Right, and that's the problem, too, because what if it's really if it's good so and you're like, good. Oh, shit, fuck, I liked it.
Yeah, I loved
any
it.
Any type of sexual encounter like that, too, you know? I don't ever just get my dick sucked by some random girl. I still need to have, like, that's sensual and that's, you know, I need some type of, you know, connection, you know, even to do that.
What if that's what she wanted though? What if she was like, I just want to suck your dick.
Nothing.
Don't speak to me.
Just pull
don't
your
ask
dick
me
out.
Anything.
Yeah.
Pull that could be kind of hot.
It'd probably go down.
Yeah. It probably would go down.
You know, unless she was drunk or on drugs or unstable or, mm-hmm. you know, just had this horrible energy.
Oh, we're all unstable.
You know.
Now, what if a guy said $100,000? I just want to suck your dick.
No.
A million.
A million dollars?
Dick. Don't play.
$2 million.
$2 million.
Double it up.
If anybody out there got $2 million from Dubai,
maybe. But I couldn't even do that though. Like I would never put my. I've never sold anything for sex, and I couldn't do that anyways. If somebody, I would never say no to that because it could be, at this point in my career, I have too much to risk. If I was
listen,
broke,
my dick for $2 million.
If I was broke, maybe. But like I got too much to risk anyways.
Definitely
you know,
it could suck be, my dick for $2 million.
It could be a sting or something. It could be a sting or you know. Publicity
right, you're right,
or
it
something
could
like
be.
That. Anyways, you know, so it's not going to happen. Mm. Sorry, guys. Sorry, rich guys listening.
So are we getting another season of Gigolo?
It's looking that way. It's been a couple of years since we shot 6, but mm-hmm. 6 was our biggest season and most popular, and it blew away the other seasons.
So
and
why
they,
2 years?
They love the show. They make a lot of money off it. They rerun the shit out of it. We have mm-hmm. 6 of them in the bank, and it's airing in Russia. It's airing all over the world.
Wow, congratulations.
Right now, too. Well, I don't see any of that shit. But,
yeah, right.
But it is cool. It is cool, you know, getting feedback and having, you know, fans and shit and in Russia and all. It's like, it's in like every country. I've gotten feedback from everybody. I got feedback recently from this Asian student who's studying English. And he said he watches the show because I speak so quickly and it helps him with his English.
Can you believe that?
He's like, I like your pretty little mouth.
He's a 60-year-old, 200-pound man in Illinois.
How much did your rate go up after you did the show?
It went up. It went up. Mm-hmm. Garen wants to put it up even more. I'm happy where it's at right now, though.
Put it up more.
Because I don't fulfill all my requests, and it's a supply-demand thing, but mm-hmm. I'm happy where it's at.
That's kind of a cool living to make for yourself as a man.
And it really is providing a service. When you watch it, like, and you see, you know, the things that some of these women go through and the reason why they hire an escort. A lot of them is their first time doing it.
That's what pushed me to do this book and everything, too. You know, I want to bring as much to the table as possible. Not everybody, you know, comes to me to get confidence and help with depression and shit like that. But, you know, even somebody who is in outstanding health and is happy most of the time, you know, I still want I want this booking to have some fucking substance and the night that they're going to remember, I want to tell them shit that they haven't heard before that they can mm-hmm. apply to their life. That's what every kick is in here. It's an intelligent motivation that kicks you in the ass and shit that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And I always want to leave this, I want to have this earth shattering, tilting, life changing. This night to just be everything I can bring to the table. And I think the more information I absorb, the better I'm able to do that and communicate this advice and then be entertaining and witty and everything else on top of that and throw down.
Well, we appreciate you for coming through. 100 kicks
thanks for
in your
having
ass.
Me back again.
Mm-hmm. Nick Hawk is here with us, but make sure y'all check out Gigolo. We're looking for season 7.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be shooting here next spring.
And I'm sure there's some stuff you'll do on your own because he also DJs, he raps, he does jujitsu, so you do everything.
Yeah, yeah. Just and he was in the Air Force. Film, jiu-jitsu. I'm performing. Wow.
You're
yeah.
talented. You man of many trades.
do a lot of stuff. I used to be a jack of all trades, but I like to think I'm putting them all together now. They all help each other out.
Well, we love
but the music
jack,
is big. I just did a cover too. I just did a cover to Wrecking Ball that's releasing on the same day as my book, November 1st.
Well, thanks again, Nick Hawk, for coming through. It's lip service.